Welcome to Native America Calling. From Studio 49 in Albuquerque, I'm Tara Gatewood. This school season, many students will be heading off to college for the first time. What can we do to make sure students are on the right track and prepared for classes? How are Native student centers on college campuses helping students to be the best student possible? Today, we'll also find out what professors expect from students. If you could get a do-over, is there something you would have done differently in order to be ready for college? Tell us right after National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Virginia U.S. lawmakers are redoubling their efforts to attain federal recognition for six Virginia tribes. As Matt Laszlo reports, they're more optimistic now that the federal government has granted recognition to the Pamunkey tribe.
More than 400 years ago, European settlers were greeted by Virginia tribes. Yet six of the seven don't meet the federal government standard for recognition. That's partly because in the early 1900s, Walter Plecker destroyed their records. He only believed in two races, black and white. Thus, the tribes didn't fit into his worldview. Virginia Democratic Senator Mark Warner says his state has a shameful record when it comes to the tribes.
For a long time, the Native American tribes in Virginia have really been discriminated against.
In July, the Bureau of Indian Affairs finally granted the Pamunkey tribe federal recognition, which now has the other Virginia tribes wondering if they should change their tactic.
But there was real concern that the federal recognition process would take forever, and that's why six of the tribes decided to go the legislative route. The remarkable thing is the Pamunkeys got through on the administrative proposal, and the other six tribes have still been waiting for legislative approval.
That legislative proposal needs to come from Congress, and it's hard to get floor time for the bill, with lawmakers fighting over things like the Iran nuclear deal or funding for Planned Parenthood. Virginia Democratic Congressman Bobby Scott says the recognition of the Pamunkey highlights a sad truth.
Well, I think it shows the other tribes should have been recognized a long time ago.
But getting the six other tribes recognized won't be as easy as one might think. Virginia Democratic Senator Tim Kaine says a part of the reason is that the other tribes don't have their own reservation lands, which makes their struggle that much harder.
Because they don't have the reservation land, the thing that made the Pamunkey easier for the purposes of meeting the BIA criteria is they got a reservation grant from the Crown of England, and they can prove unbroken chain of title since the 1670s, and the other guys don't.
Kaine says that makes the administrative route through the Bureau of Indian Affairs, or BIA, nearly impossible for the other tribes.
The word that we still get from the BIA is that it would be extremely difficult for the other tribes to get through the BIA.
But Kaine is still optimistic. While riding the subway in the Capitol, the senator explained that the Virginia tribes have a better chance of getting Congress to recognize them.
Ours are less controversial than some because our tribes have forsworn gambling. You know, they basically have said, we will not claim any sovereign right to gambling, and any gambling, we will agree to be bound by state law on gambling. Well, some of the other tribes haven't said that, you know, from any other state. So maybe there's a way to move ours separately. Maybe there's a way to move a bunch of them together because then you get more states interested.
Virginia Democratic Congressman Jerry Connolly and the rest of the state's congressional delegation say the six remaining tribes deserve swift congressional action.
There's a long and sorry history with how Native American tribal communities have been treated, especially in Virginia. And that sorry history has been linked to our racial past. And so we want to make sure justice ultimately is provided to long-suffering communities of, really, our first citizens.
The other problem facing the tribes is that this fall's schedule is already jam-packed, and next year is a presidential election. So Congress isn't expected to be too productive. That has Virginia lawmakers and tribal leaders calling for action without many options to force action on the issue. Reporting from the Capitol, I'm Matt Laszlo.
The International Day of the World's Indigenous Peoples is recognized annually in August. Events at the United Nations in New York are scheduled for Monday, which includes speakers, a video, and the launch of a health publication. This year's focus is on health and wellness. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Supported by the American Indian Tourism Conference 2015, providing technical resources and education to advance and develop tourism programs in Indian Country. Early registration ends August 24th at AITC2015.com. Support by United Tribes Technical College, offering courses online for a career in medical coding and for updating your current coding certification. Registration available through August 10th online at UTTC.edu.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood. According to the National Indian Education Association statistics, in 2012, 39% of American Indian and Alaska Native students who started in 2005 as first-time full-time students at a four-year institution graduated. That's compared to 60% of white students. What are the reasons that may account for Native students not attaining higher education degrees? And how can parents and others adequately prepare students for the first day of college? Does it take initiatives to make sure Native students are aware of the resources on campuses that are available to them? Today, we visit with American Indian Studies Centers for tips on how to tackle first years of college. And our number is 1-800-996-2848. And whether you have a degree or not, what advice would you like to give to incoming freshmen that are about to take on the challenge of college life? Again, our number is 1-800-996-2848. Which is also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And joining us from Albuquerque, New Mexico, is Pam Aguayo, and she is the director of the American Indian Student Services at the University of New Mexico, which provides student support services, academic advisement, mentorship, and they also help students with scholarships and financial aid support. They also have a summer bridge program for incoming freshmen. And Pam also serves as a special assistant to the president of the University of New Mexico for American Indian Affairs. And she comes to us. She is Cochiti, Kewa, and Okeawinge Pueblos. It's our pleasure to have her on the hour today. Good day to you, Pam.
Good morning, Tara.
And Pam, I'm sure you must be crazy busy with school just about to kick off. And, you know, when we do think about a student's first year in college, you know, it's a special time. Not only, you know, they made it this far. Congratulations to all the graduates. But also, you know, there's a lot of weight and pressure and maybe a lot of the unknown. And so, Pam, today we want to give folks as much view into what to expect or how you can prepare yourself. And so, Pam, what would you like to kick us off with when it comes to, you know, being ready for college?
Well, I think first and foremost, it's important that incoming students seize the moment and also really understand that they were admitted to whatever college and university that they're going to because they are qualified. They're beyond qualified. So they belong there. I know that many students oftentimes are overcome by just the magnitude of a different environment from their high school environments and sometimes can have a lot of self-doubt. So I think it's important, first and foremost, to let every single Native student who is embarking on a college experience this year know that you are deserving, you are valuable, you are way more than adequate, you're competitive, and you are really positioned for success.
And Pam, thinking the opposite of what you just said, does that ever play into why some of our students may not be successful or even lead to dropping out?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that there are lots of ways that students get messages and have experiences that can introduce self-doubt, you know, sort of that first exam that you have and maybe you don't do as well as you thought you were going to do, or the balancing of your course load is a much different experience and at a much different level than what you're accustomed to previously. I often find that students who are very high academic achieving students, maybe they're a, you know, the valedictorian at their high school, come into and are used to experiencing academic success, for example, and come into a university environment and have to shift a little bit to find their place and to get some traction. So I think, you know, sometimes the academics can come into play where you think, you know, my neighbor or the person sitting next to me got a way better grade, so maybe I don't belong here, or maybe I'm not cut out for this. And maybe there are times when students are having challenges making a connection on campus and then can feel a little bit alienated. But, you know, I think that every single college and university has not only an opportunity but also has resources for students to access to try to minimize that self-doubt and the stress levels.
All right. Thanks for that, Pam. And our phone lines are open for you to also share with us in the hour. You know, is anybody out there with any first year of college jitters? Got any questions? Give us a call. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And also, if you'd like to give advice to incoming students, maybe even parents who are sending their young ones off to college for the first time, you can give advice too. We all learn from experience, so we'd appreciate you sharing some of yours too. 1-800-996-2848. And Pam, there is a program at the University of New Mexico for Native students to make sure, you know, that they're kind of getting their feet wet before they jump into a full year of college. It's the Bridge Program. Pam, tell us a little bit about what goes on there and how it is preparing young people for college.
Sure. The UNM American Indian Summer Bridge Program is a sort of a real-life experience, and it's a way to immerse incoming freshman students into a first-year experience. Students that are enrolled in that program come onto our campus for 5 weeks. They're residential students, so they're living here. They're living the life, literally, of a college student, and they are enrolled in 9 credit hours in a math course, a writing course, and a Native American Studies course, and also a university skills course. It's a fairly rigorous academic experience. It's intended to be rigorous. It's intended to force students to think critically. It's intended to force students to align their study habits and study skills and time management in ways that will accelerate their experience and success. But the truth of the matter is that, you know, a college experience is not just about academics. We all know, and maybe I should speak for myself. When I was a college student, I wasn't spending 24 hours a day or every waking moment studying. You do have to balance it with your regular life, and that means being inclusive of social aspects. It means being inclusive of commitments potentially to whatever tribal community you have affiliation with. For many of our students coming in, they also are balancing part-time jobs as well with their studies. So the Summer Bridge program is really an opportunity to help students not only have the academic experience, but they are in a cohort with other students, so that on the first day of the semester, they have a vast network of their peers who have participated in the program with them. They have a network of faculty that they've been engaged with over the summer, and then they have a network of student support service providers across the campus, not just from American Indian Student Services, but places like the Financial Aid Office and our Student Activities Center and our Dean of Students Office and our housing area and our enrollment management and all of the other tutoring support service, all of our academic and student support services that help students navigate their way through their college experience.
And Pam, you know, you also mentioned, you know, just understanding that school may not be, you know, 24 hours of studying. Does that ever provide, you know, or create an obstacle for students who feel guilty because, you know, they are doing social activities or, you know, they were sent off and their parents said, now, remember, your studies come first. Does that ever provide a hurdle, Pam?
Well, you know, I come from, you know, in my work, we're always encouraging students to get immersed and get involved in your campus community. And to some degree, that means getting involved in student organizations. And sometimes I have to say that our biggest retention efforts lie within our student organizations because those groups really help support each other. The students serve sometimes as peer mentors and advisors within their experiences in those student organizations. And they play a role in our retention efforts. You know, the flip side of that is that students can become so consumed in their activity with student organizations that they can sometimes neglect their studies. And so I think bottom line, it's all about balance, balancing student engagement activities, balance your connection to the campus, and balancing it with your academics and your ability to sort of ensure that you're succeeding in the classroom as well.
All right. Thanks for that, Pamela. And we do appreciate you being with us today. If you have any questions, please do call in with them. Maybe there was a summer bridge program in your area that your young person went to. You know, what were some of the results that they came back with? What do you feel they learned? And if there are any students out there, we want to hear from you, too. And of course, people who have been through the system. And if you have advice for people who are starting their first year of college, please do call in. We want to hear from you. Phone lines are open. The number is 1-800-996-2848. And you can also send us a tweet. Our Twitter handle is at 1-800-99-NATIVE. And we're taking a look at comments from there, too. Here's one from Fred. He says, say no to student loans if possible. They follow you everywhere. So there's a bit of advice from Fred. Thank you for your tweet. Again, you can also send us your tweet, too, at 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's go ahead and take a call. We have John in Albuquerque, New Mexico. He is connecting to us today on KUNM. John, thank you for your call.
Hi.
Hi, you're on air. Go ahead.
Okay, great. I'm a way overeducated Anglo guy, PhD and more. So first piece of advice I would give, I got when I was a freshman in college from a wonderful professor. You're going to spend a lot of time waiting in lines, and you're going to have more reading than you need to do. Always carry a book with you.
Oh, okay. Thank you for that, John. Here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, again, you too can join us, 1-800-996-2848. Let's go ahead and add to the conversation. I want to bring in two more voices joining us from San Francisco, California, at the Association for Education in Journalism and Mass Communication Conference is Victoria LePoe. And she is a professor of broadcasting and film at Western Kentucky University. And Victoria is a citizen of the Cherokee Nation. It's our pleasure to welcome her to the hour. Hello, Victoria.
Hello, how are you?
We're doing good. Thank you for being with us. And also joining us from Pawhuska, Oklahoma, is Leighton Lamsam, and he is a second-year student at Stanford University's Medical School. And Leighton is from the Osage Nation. Welcome to Native America Calling, Leighton.
Hello, Tara.
Thank you for being with us. And Leighton, Pam was talking about, you know, the need for peer support, too, sometimes is what helps students get through, you know, college or even just learning how to navigate their first year. Leighton, anything you'd like to share about, you know, why students, you know, can get involved with that or can benefit from that? Go ahead, Leighton.
Well, I think you need a community to get you through college. When I was in college, I was a part of the Native community at Stanford, and I was also a part of a Christian fellowship there. And they really made my campus feel like home. But when I started out as a freshman, I felt sort of out of place, and I had to force myself to seek out connections. But once I had found those connections, everything began to sort of fall in place. And I think it was because being in a new place outside of my home state, I didn't have a support network, and I didn't have that group of people that I could count on to help me through good times and tough times. And finding a community will sort of help you recreate the support network that you left behind at home.
And Lane, I understand that you also have, you know, the opportunity at your school to also, you know, give some advice to incoming freshmen and just, you know, students who are there. Layton, what do you like to share with students about, you know, success in college?
Well, I think the first thing to address when someone's coming to college is actually about back home. A lot of students have worries about home when they come to college. I think a lot of kids get homesick and they often miss home, and that is just another obstacle that doesn't necessarily need to be there. I usually went back for Thanksgiving and Christmas, and my family would fly out to see me during my school's annual powwow. So I don't think I ever stopped feeling homesick necessarily, but I accepted that I was away from home for a purpose. And I think the second thing about home that I would tell someone is, a lot of students, when they come to college, they have concerns about taking care of their family. Either they may have a grandparent or great aunt or uncle who they might be helping take care of, or their family might be depending on them for part of the income bringing into the household. So going to college and only, you know, having a part-time job at most might be hard on the family's finances. So what I always say is, you know, it may be difficult to help out your family when you're in college, but college also means that you'll get a better job, which will allow you in the future to take care of your family better. It's sort of a one cookie now or two cookies later situation. But if you choose to go to college, remember that being here at college is taking care of your family. And I think that can give students a sense of purpose that prevents them from wanting to quit when times get tough.
And they definitely do. Layton, that's great advice. And if you'd also like to share your comments with us today, please do. Phone lines are open. The number is 1-800-996-2848. And you can also send us a tweet at 1-800-99-NATIVE. Here's some more from social media on what people are saying connected to our show. A person said, my advice is to do the required readings and coursework. Everything is so much easier if you've done what you're asked. Alan says punctuality and showing up for class are important because they will get you. Any more advice that you have for incoming freshmen, call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. Or if you are a parent or a student who is preparing for their first year and you want to tell us what you're doing to prepare, you can call in too. Maybe even some school supplies that are a must when you're going to college. You can share those too. 1-800-99-NATIVE is our number. Let's go ahead and take a call. We have Michelle here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, connecting to us today on KUNM. Michelle, welcome to the hour.
Hi, good morning. I was calling to just make a couple comments regarding the UNM AISD program. My daughter just completed going through that program this past summer, and I just wanted to say that if there are other colleges or universities that have this type of program, I would encourage parents and students to look into that. I didn't know about this program until we went to the, I think it was called Senior Day or something, and we happened to come upon the AISD table is where I learned of it. So my daughter did apply for it. She was accepted. And I can't tell you how much of a change I've seen in her positively. She was very worried about going to school. She was very worried about, you know, what if I don't know what I need to know in the classes, or what if I won't make any friends or anything like that. And she was also actually planning not to stay in the dorm. She was going to go to school from home. Once she started the program, a week into it, she called me and said, hey, Mom, is it still too late to stay at the dorm? I really want to do that. So suffice it to say, she's going to be in the dorm this semester. But just going to classes, getting that classroom environment experience was very invaluable, as well as she made
friends of everybody in the group. I believe there was about 24 or 25 of them. They all became really good friends. They're planning a little reunion next week when they get back to class. So it was so great, this program. I can't tell you how much I think that this is so valuable. With all of these things going, you know, attending this program and having this opportunity, it also allowed her, I can see an independence that she had, that she has now, that she didn't have before.
Well, Michelle, I hear some of that excitement in your voice, and it's exciting to hear, you know, our another Native student, you know, finding their wings in college. I want to go to Pam, and any comments for our caller, Michelle? Pam?
Well, thank you for the vote of confidence in the program. You know, we've been really fortunate in that we have really phenomenal faculty who have been with our program for quite some time. We have Dr. Lloyd Lee, who teaches our Native Studies course, Dr. Kathleen Washburn, who teaches our writing and English component, and then a longtime instructor who actually has been with us since the year of the inception of the program, Terry Lynn Vigil, who is just a math wizard. She also teaches at a local, she's faculty at a local community college, who really has a way of helping support students academically. And I think we've got some amazing staff within the department that coordinate the program. This year, Daniel Begay was the program coordinator and did an outstanding job. But I have to tell you, it's our student resident advisors and our academic tutors, who are also students themselves, who really, really also added to the success of the program. They're current UNM students, so they have a lot of insight. They provide mentorship to the students and can really help give students some personal perspective about what to expect and sort of the missteps that they've had, but also the successes and how to get involved. I'm really excited to hear that the students from this year are planning a reunion of sorts. We're also planning a program in a social the first week of school to get all our Native freshmen, the entire Native freshman class, not just the students that were involved in AISB, but all of the freshmen together. Because as the other guest on the program mentioned, it's really important to find a connection. And most often that's with other students. And so I'm excited to hear that, at least from a parent's perspective, that they have seen a shift and an evolution in their child that's positive. So thank you for the vote of confidence.
And Pam, if any folks want to get in contact with you to learn more about this, where do they find you?
Sure. You can find out about American Indian Student Services on our website, aiss.unm.edu. Particularly for information about the Summer Bridge program, people can go to aisb.unm.edu. You can also phone our office, 505-277-6343, and any one of our academic advisors, Ms. Catherine Montoya, who actually coordinates the program, and Mr. Daniel Begay, are both available to talk with both parents and students about the AISB experience or any other component of attending this institution.
All right. Thanks for that. We're going to pause for a moment, but we will be back with more. Again, if there's more advice you have for incoming college students, call us right now. Phone lines are open, 1-800-99-NATIVE. We'll be back. The Goldwater Institute, a constitutional rights group, has recently mounted a challenge against the Indian Child Welfare Act. They claim parts of the law are unconstitutional and don't provide equal protection for Native children. But others say it's a gold standard for child welfare. Join us on the next Native America Calling to hear more on this issue.
Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. For 45 years, NARF has stood firm for justice in Indian country on critical issues such as treaty enforcement, hunting and fishing rights, Indian child welfare, religious freedom, and more. You too can become a modern-day warrior. Stand firm with NARF. Learn more at narf.org and join the fight for Native rights.
Welcome back to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood from Isleta Pueblo. And if you just joined us, we are talking about being prepared for college. What things can be done to help students reach the goal of graduating with a degree? Is there something you want to add to our conversation today? Well, please do call in. The number is 1-800-996-2848. And do you have a student that is packing their bags right now to head off to college? What are their concerns when it comes to starting this new chapter of their life? And is your tribe being supportive also in preparing your student for their first year? Call in and tell us about your student's experience. Our number is also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And if you have a veteran college student that you're also proud of who figured out the ropes, maybe through trial and error, you can share their story too and how they overcame their freshman obstacles. Phone lines are open again, 1-800-996-2848. With us today, we have Professor Victoria LePoe, who teaches at Western Kentucky University, and she also helps start a Native American club on campus. And also with us is Leighton Lamsom, and he is a co-director, or he was the co-director of the annual Stanford Powwow, which happens in May, and he is also a college student in medical school at Stanford University. And also with us is Pam Ogoyo, and she is the director of American Indian Studies, or Indian Student Services at the University of New Mexico, and she also serves as a special assistant to the president of UNM for American Indian Affairs. Thank you for being with us today, and hello again to all the folks. And I want to go to Victoria here. Victoria, we've heard a little bit from a student side, also student service side, but as a teacher, a professor, what do you like to tell incoming freshmen?
Well, one of my first pieces of advice would be that everyone is a little scared. I know when I was a freshman, my mother stayed on campus several days with me to make sure that I was actually going to stay there. And I ended up getting my master's degree and PhD. And I remember at the end of the semester, my first semester, I said I wanted to quit. And my mother said, "You're going back. Either way, you're going back." And so professors, even though we may be professors, we've been through some of these things before. And even I still have jitters on the first day that I teach, even though I've taught it multiple universities as I was pursuing my degrees. So we're humans too, and we get scared too. And I agree with what other people have said on the show so far. If you can find a mentor or a professor or a person that you can connect with to be a sounding board, to check in with, that often helps make a very large, new, and different situation feel a little more comfortable.
All right. Thanks for that, Victoria. And we're going to go to the phone lines here, too. Again, if you'd like to send us a tweet with your advice for first year college students or just students returning to higher education, please do. You can tweet us at 1-800-99-NATIVE. Here's some advice from Luella. She says, schedule your study time and actually study during that time. She's got a lot of advice up here. She says, naps are okay. Flip-flops for the showers. And, you know, if you're not a morning person, opt for evening classes when you can. Again, you can join us, too, by calling 1-800-996-2848. Let's go now to Alicia, who's here in Albuquerque, New Mexico. She's connecting to us today online. Alicia, welcome to the hour.
Hi.
Hi, you're on air. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I wanted to share a little bit of my experiences. I started college my first year at New Mexico State University, and I had a mentor. I didn't hesitate to take advantage of that from our American Indian program at NMSU, and she was it was her help and her advice and her suggestions, any questions that I had, even tutoring. I mean, it made me feel like somebody was helping me. And even though I was by myself from my community coming to New Mexico State, I mean, I sought out the Native American community, like with their programs, they had meetings. I learned about organizations, and I surprised myself that I got involved, and I wanted to be, because coming from a reservation and going to New Mexico State in a bigger city, I needed that connection. Jokes were just making being in our situation away from home lighter and easier. And I also went to St. Louis for my master's program, and that was a whole new experience. And as a graduate student, leaving and going out of state, being over 1,000 miles away, I also was eager to seek out a community. And I think for students, incoming freshmen this year, that is really important. Mentors, everybody that has advice that other callers have made is spot on. I mean, that is what I can say that helped me through my bachelor's program and my master's program, is to just be positive, know that you belong there, and don't forget to just call home when you need to. It's not a bad thing to call home and to miss home, because you know you're there for a purpose. So,
all right, Alicia, congratulations to you too. Thank you for your call here in Albuquerque. Phone lines are still open. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Let's go now to Larry in Santee Sioux community in Nebraska, and it's our pleasure to have him on the line. Hello, Larry.
Hi, Tara. How are you?
Doing well. I'm hearing some great advice here. Larry, what would you like to throw into the pot?
Well, we have a Nebraska Indian Community College site on our reservation, and it's, you know, Santee campus, and I just wanted to mention that I got my Associate of Arts degree way back in 86. And I was like 26 years old then, and I always wanted to continue on and try to get my four-year bachelor's degree, but I haven't done so yet, and I'm be 54 here in January, so, but I had a grandma that always told me that she's passed on, you know, a few years back, but her name was Grandma Florine Johnson, and she always said, you're never too old to learn, because she received her special ed teacher's degree back in when she was like 76 years old. She got her four-year degree teaching in special education.
Larry, that is some sound advice. You know, you are never too young to, or never too old to learn. And Pam, you know, any advice that you also have for, you know, maybe people, it's their first year of college because they're, you know, taking on courses later in life, or maybe they're just returning. What about those kind of jitters? Pam, any advice?
I think it's important to seek out resources. It's interesting that you say that we have many, you know, with the onslaught of technology and you know, new freshmen really sort of mastering those kinds of things. Just even yesterday, we had a woman who came into our office who's a more mature student who just needed some assistance with navigating the online processes just for registering and for checking out her balances. And once the student staff helped her, she was really, I think, excited about the fact that it was doable, it was easy, and she really appreciated the help. I find that older students, you know, sometimes feel silly, I think, asking for help. But one of the things that I think about all college students is that the most successful students are the ones that ask for help. They're the most successful. And so, you know, it's really important to seek out resources and help. And it's never too late to rejoin a degree program. And so I encourage anyone at any point in their life to think about coming back to college.
All right. Thanks, Pam. And Leighton, one of our callers, Alicia, was also talking about make sure you, you know, connect to the community there. I understand that's part of your success. You even took it to the point of even helping with the powwow, which I know is a lot of work. Leighton, anything to echo about why also finding the Native community on campus can help you?
Yeah, well, I think the being, you know, I went to college out of state, and it was a very different culture there than from my home. And I think having so many non-Native students around, I think they approach school a lot of times from a different perspective, and things feel a lot different when you're out of state. And so finding a Native community on campus will almost be like a little oasis for you, because you come there and it almost feels a little bit more like home. And I think, number one, that's how it can be helpful. But also, you know, being away from home, it might be hard to feel connected to your culture. And things like the Stanford Powwow helped me to really, you know, feel like I could still connect to that without having to fly back home. A lot of times my finals would run over my tribe's ceremonial dances and I couldn't make it home. And so Stanford Powwow for that time kind of became a substitute almost. And I also, Alicia mentioned that finding a mentor was key. I agree with that, because a lot of the students, underclassmen that I counsel, get into trouble later on because they didn't plan adequately. And a mentor can help you plan out your schedule, plan out what things you can do, whether or not doing things like study abroad or getting too involved in certain activities may be a good idea or a bad idea. And mentors can serve as people that you bounce those ideas off of confidentially, and someone that you can trust and who's been at the university for a long time.
Good advice, Leighton. Thank you for that. And also, you know, our number again, one more time, 1-800-99-NATIVE. Pam, we keep hearing, you know, sometimes it is a balancing act between balancing home and school. Do you have any advice on how students, you know, can do some of that balancing? And, you know, what happens when, you know, you get that call from home? They say, we need you home for, you know, certain reasons, and you have to make that call. Am I going to go home, or am I going to take that test? Pam, go ahead.
Well, I think that first and foremost, my personal opinion about starting to think about a structure for balance is to find a calendar system that works for you and utilize it. To the person who had some advice earlier about, you know, schedule study time and actually study during that time, that's really sort of apropos and important in terms of structuring your life. But for your question specific to, you know, many of our students, we sometimes will have challenges with balancing their connection to community. And, you know, particularly in New Mexico, for example, you know, we have communities that have ceremonial calendars that sometimes can conflict with an academic calendar, so to speak. And students do have to make those calls. I think one of the things that I always say is that certainly it's a personal choice about which way that you go, but it's really important about defining for yourself what your priorities are. So, you know, there's that aspect. I think the other aspect for us, and we're fortunate in that on our campus, when those situations arise, we have a process within the institution to engage our Dean of Students Office to alert faculty about those absences for students who are involved in ceremonies or have community responsibilities that they have to attend to that potentially could conflict with the class or with an exam. The other thing that I think about too is something that one of my colleagues, who's also from a public community, shared with me, and saying that, you know, when he was away at school and came from a very traditional family, you know, he would struggle and he was going home a lot every weekend and was just dealing with a lot of fatigue and stress because he was finding he couldn't be in two places at once. And we all know that that's the case. And he said that the best thing that ever happened was that finally his dad said to him, you know, look, you're in college. We need you to complete that degree. We need you to get there. We're going to be here Our communities and our people have survived and thrived for hundreds of years, thousands of years, and we're going to be here waiting for you, but we're not going to, advance if we don't have you doing what you need to do outside of here for, 3 or 4 or 5 years. So you have to concentrate on that. And we'll be here waiting for you when you come back. So I think, you have to sort of think about a lot of different aspects and figure out what works best for you. And but know that, there are some support systems that will also help students let the university know that, they've got a distinct situation, and they'd like to have some support in being able to take care of responsibilities at home as well.
That's a great way to put it, Pam. And, we were also talking about, finding the Native community. But what about, also branching out into the broader community, of other students or other programs, maybe even connecting to the city that's around you? Is that also something to consider too, Pam?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So on our campus, certainly, obviously, I always encourage our students to think about becoming members. We've got 14 Native chartered student organizations, and we're really very fortunate on this campus. We have one of the oldest Native chartered student organization in the country and any university that originated on our campus. It's called the Kiva Club, and they're a dynamic group of students who do a whole lot of things, from cultural activities to social activities to service activities in the community, and have a focus on academics. But there are also, we have a Native fraternity and a Native sorority, and then a host of other Native student organizations who do a number of things on campus. And so that's great. We've got 14 organizations, but campus-wide, we have about 480, almost 500 student organizations on this campus that students can become involved with. So if you have a focus in a certain sport, for example, or you have a focus in a certain academic component, a religious affiliation, a political affiliation, a specific sort of skill set, we have theater groups, we have singing groups. I mean, they're vast. And most of them are also connected to doing service in and around the city, and so do a lot of service work and volunteerism within the city. We also have what's called Spring Storm on our campus, and it's where all of our members of our Greek organizations get together to do service, not only on our campus, but citywide. So, there are lots of opportunities and lots of options for students, so you don't have to feel like certainly I encourage students to become affiliated with our Native student organizations just because I think that they're all phenomenal, but certainly you're not sort of only limited to that. You have vast choices, and getting involved is a good thing, in my opinion.
Certainly. Thanks, Pam. I got another caller we're going to. Let's go to Norman, Oklahoma right now. We're going to bring in Heather. She's connecting to us today online. Heather, thank you for your call.
Thank you. I just wanted to make a couple of comments. I think that I really appreciate what some of the guests have shared, and know that Pam Aguayo is doing some great work at UNM, and I think it's a great example of how we bring in our Native college students. And there's a lot of advice that we're giving to our college students about seeking out mentors. And so I wanted to add that I think we really need to encourage and follow the work of some of our professionals that are already doing these things, our Native faculty and staff, to make sure that we're reaching out to Native college students. So it's one thing for us to tell them to seek out a mentor, but we have to also equip them and help our Native college students to understand how to engage in mentoring relationships and how they find good mentors and how we can make sure that we're reaching out and bringing them into the community and working to mentor them. And that's a part of our responsibility as Native faculty and staff. And I think there are some great examples of how that's being done on different campuses. And I think that UNM is a great example. So I just really wanted to offer that we're making sure in our communities and on our campuses that we're helping to equip our Native College students to utilize mentors in the best way that they can.
All right. Thank you for your call, Heather. And if there are any folks out there, you know, who want to offer yourself as a mentor, send us a tweet right now. We know college students also look at our Twitter feed. Send us a tweet at 1-800-99-NATIVE. Don't forget to include the university that you're at. And we are hearing a lot of great things on the line today. Let's continue by bringing in another caller. Again, our Twitter handle is at 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's go now to Rebecca here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, connecting to us today on KUNM. Rebecca, thank you for your call.
Hi, how are you?
Doing good.
I work at UNM Residence Life and Student Housing, and I just wanted to let everyone know what an amazing resource it is for students to be able to come and live on campus. UNM Residence Life and Student Housing offers about 2,000 programs a year, and that includes being able to be involved in the Residence Hall Association and in their community associations and many, many other groups that they can use to socialize and take advantage of the diversity that's on campus. We're not really just a place to lay your head. We really are a living and thriving organization, and we have so many resources for students. And a lot of people have said that it's made every difference in their ability to stay in school because they feel like they belong. It definitely influences a student's ability to stay connected to the university and to graduate and to be a little bit more successful at school.
All right. Thank you for your call, Rebecca. And Victoria, you know, we've heard a lot of great things on the line about, you know, how to survive. But, you know, a key to it is your interaction with your professors, too. Victoria, what would you like to tell folks about, you know, a healthy level of interaction that you should be having with your professor?
Well, if there's something going on, for instance, it was mentioned earlier, if there are events at home that you would like to attend and it conflicts with what you're doing. The way I work with my students is an open line of communication. If they let me know that this is important to them and this is something that they would like to do, usually I think if professors are aware of it, they'll try to work with the student. And so to not be afraid to go talk to the student. Some people, not all people, like to shoot a quick email, you know, once they're in school. But oftentimes going and having that one-on-one personal conversation with the professor will help give insight into that student situation as well as what's important to them. And I do think that most professors will work with the student. And so I think that's an important thing to know. And another thing is I was a member of the Native American Journalists Association. I was a mentor for the fellows. And there were five different universities that students were from. And I'm also happy to offer myself as a mentor. You don't have to go to my university. Oftentimes we have scholarships, I know, at Western Kentucky University that people just don't apply for. And I'm someone that I need an example of what I should do sometimes. And so if you need someone to look at something or if you need an example, don't be afraid to ask for that from a professor or from someone who is your mentor. So that is another thing that might, you know, be helpful to students. Also, if you had a bad first semester or if you've had a bad week or a bad day, don't take that as forever happening. You know, don't be afraid to go talk to your professor and explain what happened or how you're feeling or if you feel like you're losing your footing, and they might be able to help you. We see lots of students, hundreds of students, and so sometimes we see situations happen over and over again. And sometimes, you know, everyone's a little different and how they learn is a little different. But oftentimes we might be able to offer something that can help students.
All right. Thanks for that, Victoria. And Leighton, I know we are, you know, wrapping up our summer, but maybe food for thought for next summer or for our students who are just, you know, entering their senior year of high school. Any advice on how important, you know, it is the way you spend your summer before going back? Go ahead, Leighton.
Yeah, I would say, you know, if you need the money, getting a summer job is a good option. And otherwise, you can, you know, feel free and enjoy your time at home before you go off to college. Everybody's going to be nervous about college, so the best way to get rid of those nerves, I think, is to dive right in and be ready to get involved as school starts. And I would just remind beginning students that being a college student is taking care of their family, and while they should enjoy college, they're also there to work, and so they should look at the coming year of college as a job in which you should be, you know, making sure that you're doing something productive at least 40 hours a week. So I think enjoy the summer and prepare for just like you're going to have a full-time job in the coming school year.
All right. And Leighton, any special shout out to your fellow Native Med students out there? Any encouragement as they take on another year?
I'd like to, you know, med school is a tough time, and one of the med students at my school just graduated and is going to residency in Ohio for vascular surgery, so shout out to him for beginning his residency.
All right. Leighton, thank you for being with us as well. Thank you to Victoria and Pam. We heard a lot of great advice today, and maybe you want to share today's program with your young college student. You can. We post all of our shows. You can find our archives on our website, NativeAmericaCalling.com. And you can also tell your student we also podcast, so you can find us on iTunes and also Stitcher. You might surprise them by those words coming out of your mouth, but, you know, lots of fun. Thank you to everybody who also called in and shared your thoughts on social media today, too. We appreciate it. And we'll be back again tomorrow, or we'll be back again on Monday. I'm already ready for Monday with more from our electronic talking circle. And thanks to our crew, Monica Brain, Andy Murphy, Stephen Emmons. Also, thanks to Rhonda Lavaldo for producing today's show and to Kavi Movahead for screening your calls. Antonia Gonzalez is the anchor and producer of National Native News. I'm your host, Tara Gatewood. It's my pleasure to be connecting with you once again here on our program. And I also encourage you to visit us on our website and sign up for our newsletter. That way you can find out what we are cooking for next week and all the great guests that we have lined up that are going to be helping you connect more to Native America. The website, one more time, is NativeAmericaCalling.com. Have a wonderful day.
This program supported by the Peace Corps, the government agency sending thousands of volunteers to live and work alongside people in more than 60 countries worldwide. The Peace Corps will allow you to share your unique cultural heritage and promote world peace and friendship. We have rewarding work opportunities around the world in education, health, agriculture, environment, and business. It will change your life and the lives of others. More information available at peacecorps.gov. That's peacecorps.gov.
The Choctaw Nation of Oklahoma features Choctaw-made merchandise online at choctawstore.com. You can own a piece of Choctaw culture delivered to your door, whether it's the works of Choctaw artists, unique apparel, accessories for your home or office, music, videos, and books, including the Choctaw language books. You can find it at choctawstore.com. Labor Day delivery available for orders placed on choctawstore.com by August 30th. choctawstore.com is proud to support Native Voice One.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization located in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the McCune Charitable Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Music is provided by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.